Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at books that were given away as Christmas gifts between 1981 and 2017 by the First Presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But before we get into today's topic, Eric, where can people find the quotes that we're going to be citing today, as well as others that we've been citing throughout this series?
Yes, actually, we've been giving a lot of the quotes, but not all the quotes that are found on the website. So just go to mrm.org, and in the search engine, type in Christmas book. And the first article to come up will contain links to all of the books in this series that we've been doing on Christmas books from 1981 to 2017, with the compiled quotes that we use, as well as additional quotes from the different books.
Today we're going to be looking at a book that was titled Stand Ye in Holy Places, Selected Sermons and Writings of Harold B. Lee. He was the 11th president of the LDS Church. This book was originally published in 1975 by Deseret Book Company, and we should mention Deseret Book Company is owned by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this was given away to employees as well as other lower general authorities in the LDS Church by the First Presidency in the year 1995. Now, Harold B. Lee was the 11th president, as I mentioned. He became the president of the church after the death of 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith. And so from July 7, 1972 till Harold B. Lee's death on December 26, 1973, he served as president of the church. Not a very long time when you think about it, about a year and a half. The first topic that we're going to examine from his book has to do with the subject of Scripture. And if you know anything about Mormonism, you know that they have Scripture beyond the Bible. They do have the King James Version of the Bible as part of their scripture, but they also have the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And as he says in his book, that is the standard works. And then on page 109, he asks, why do we call them standard? What does he say regarding that question?
If there is any teacher who teaches a doctrine that can't be substantiated from the standard church works, and I make one qualification, and this unless that one be the president of the church, who alone has the right to declare new doctrine, then you may know by that same token that such a teacher is but expressing his own opinion. If, on the other hand, you have someone teaching a doctrine that cannot be substantiated by the scriptures, and more than this, if it contradicts what is in the standard church works, you may know that that person is teaching false doctrine, no matter what his position in this church may be. The president of the church alone may declare the mind and will of God to his people.
That is an amazing amount of power that is given one individual in the LDS church. No one else can say things that supposedly contradict what is in the standard works. Except, of course, the one qualification that Harold B. Lee makes, and that is the president of the church.
And let's just ask the question right off the top. What is the qualification that the president of the church has to be able to make such a declaration? Wouldn't you say, Bill, that he just happens to be the oldest remaining apostle that became the president? And so he's given this position along with two counselors that he chooses. And he has the right to be able to even go against the standard works.
And past leaders have done that. Let's cite an example. Brigham Young, for instance. Brigham Young used to come up with some of the more off-the-wall teachings. And what's fascinating is the modern LDS church doesn't even believe a lot of the things that Brigham Young taught while he was a president. And yet, people believed Brigham Young during his presidency. They were basically warned that they better believe Brigham Young. I mean, one of the greatest warnings I think that we can cite of significant importance would be what he said at the end of his Adam God sermon in 1852. He told people they better pause before they treat that doctrine lightly or with indifference, because it would prove their salvation or damnation. Mormons don't believe that today. So how do you take this statement from Harold B. Lee in light of their own history?
It's amazing to me that you have the standard works that are the defining rod of what doctrine is supposed to be. And then you have this caveat: unless that one be the president of the church, who alone has the right to declare new doctrine. Now, I'm fascinated by that, Bill, because this church is supposed to be the restored church. Through the great apostasy, all authority was lost. Joseph Smith restores the true church today, and that's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this president, this prophet, he's allowed to declare new doctrine. Does that sound strange to you, that you can declare new doctrine that never was understood by the ancient Israelites, the ancient Nephites?
Yeah, if you want to believe that the Nephites even existed. But you raise a good point. But I want to know this. Why is it, if he can declare such a rule for determining truth, why is it that our rule for determining truth is automatically dismissed? And here's what I mean by that. He says, if it contradicts what is in the standard church works, you may know that that person is teaching false doctrine, no matter what his position in the church may be. I would argue that's how we made a judgment call on Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was teaching things that contradicted the Bible, which is our standard work, you might say, the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. Smith contradicts what's revealed in the Bible. We deemed him as a person teaching false doctrine, and we summarily rejected his claim to authority. You notice what you have to do here, folks. You have to first and foremost embrace the works that Joseph Smith brings out, and now you start making judgments based on what Joseph Smith sets down as the standard.
That's a great point. When you think about the three other standard works besides the Bible, Joseph Smith has his hand in all three of those. And what's fascinating, the Book of Mormon is supposedly the Word of God that was given to the ancient Nephites, and it's translated and published in 1830. And yet, the Book of Mormon, so many different ways, contradicts those other two books, the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price.
And I think that's probably because the Book of Mormon was one of the first works that Joseph Smith put forth, and he doesn't really start going off radically, I should say, the theological rails till around 1835. Would you agree with me, Eric, that had Joseph Smith written the Book of Mormon, let's say around 1840 or 1844, that it would probably read a lot differently than the way it reads now?
I think for one chapter that would certainly be different would be Jacob chapter 2 that has to do with polygamy. Joseph Smith changed his mind on that, and so his later view contradicts Jacob chapter 2.
Do you think he also would have included Moroni 8:18, that there is one God who's from everlasting to everlasting? I doubt if that would be in there either, because he was teaching a multiplicity of gods later on in his life. So certainly it would be different. I would even say it goes for the Joseph Smith translation as well. If Joseph Smith was to do his inspired version in 1844 rather than between 1830 and 1833, I'm sure there would be a lot more revisions in the 1844 edition than the 1833.
So much of this religion is based on the foundation of Joseph Smith. And today, Latter-day Saints look to their prophet as having these keys that continue on the legacy that Joseph Smith had. And so on page 175 in Stand Ye in Holy Places, Harold B. Lee says this: a prophet, then, does not become a spiritual leader by studying books about religion, nor does he become one by attending a theological seminary. One becomes a prophet, a divinely called religious leader, by actual spiritual contacts. He gets his diploma, as it were, directly from God.
Have you ever heard a false prophet say anything but something like that? Of course, they all demand that they were touched by God and that God called them to the position that they now hold. But look carefully at what he says. A prophet does not become a spiritual leader by studying books about religion. Okay, in the Old Testament, you could probably say that was true. Nor, as Harold B. Lee says, does he become one by attending a theological seminary. Again, of course, in the Old Testament, we don't find prophets being chosen because of their academic prowess, but neither do we find prophets being called in the Old Testament by God on a person who, as you pointed out, just happened to outlive his colleagues. That's not a pattern in the Old Testament either. But let me ask you a question. Would you want to attend a church and have a pastor that brags, well, I'm not in this position because I've been studying books about religion, and I'm not in this position because I went to seminary. And I'm not saying that you have to go to seminary to be a pastor, but do you really want to place your theological trust in an individual who seems to be bragging about how ignorant they might be about the Bible?
How do you get your understanding? Through osmosis? No, it should be through studying the Word of God, as a Christian pastor would, or if you're going to be a Latter-day Saint, to study the four scriptures, but you would want them to not only have that understanding, but to understand what their own theologians have said over at BYU and others, to be able to accumulate all this information. It seems like Harold B. Lee is saying, I don't need any of that.
Well, when he says that it's not by studying books about religion, but let's be serious. These guys do teach on theological subjects. Where do they get their information? They can say from God, but guess what? This is what they say in countries like Africa. Now, I've been to Africa, and I've seen the problems the African Christians have over there when you have these guys claiming that God has called them to be prophets, and yet these men don't know anything about the Bible. And unfortunately, only the gullible seem to follow them. Could it not be the same case when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? People who don't know their Bible tend to be swayed towards their direction because they don't know what the theological truth is in order to combat their error.
A final point, Bill, on that quote. He says, he, the prophet, gets his diploma, as it were, directly from God. Well, when somebody has a diploma up on their wall and you're in their office and you're looking at it, you want it to be an institution that they got this from that can be accredited, that can be understood where they got it from. As evangelical Christians, we look at the diploma of Russell M. Nelson. We're not sure where he got his spiritual diploma.
Yeah, you have to go by his word. They tell you this, and you just have to accept it, and you're not really allowed to question them.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.